Do you love science? Learning about science? How do we get more people excited about science? Do you respect scientists? Do you think more public funding should go into science? Does the Earth revolve around the sun, or does the sun revolve around the Earth? We'll discuss all of these questions this hour with the author of a report on the public's perception of science from the National Science Foundation. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February 18th. The survey found while Americans have a healthy interest in learning about science, many of us still struggle with the basic scientific facts. Like 25% who took this survey got the question wrong about the Earth rotating around the sun. So why is this, and how do we improve our scientific knowledge? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is John Besley, Associate Professor in the Department of Advertising and Public Relations at Michigan State University. He's the lead author of the chapter that covers public perceptions of science in the National Science Foundation's Science and Engineering Indicators Report. His research has touched on public perceptions of nanotechnology, biotechnology, and energy technologies. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. So this survey got quite a bit of attention over the weekend. I guess it was talked about at a conference on Friday. What is your headline from this report?
Sure. I think a lot of the coverage is focused on the knowledge questions and, you know, all the things that people, mostly focused on the things that people got wrong. But to me, the really important question is, how are people thinking about science and how are people thinking about scientists? And on the knowledge question, a lot of those, we could wish people did better on some of those. But people, the answers have been pretty stable over time. We've been asking these questions for a long time. But the good news is that the people's perceptions of scientists are really good, and that's been stable over time as well.
So why do you do this survey?
So this is a survey that, every 2 years, the National Science Board, which is the group that oversees the National Science Foundation, does a report on science and engineering indicators. And this chapter is on public perceptions of science and technology, but other chapters are on funding or on, education rates. And so the idea is to provide a regular report to Congress as indicators of the state of science in the nation. And so I'm really happy that there's a chapter in there, as somebody who studies attitudes and perceptions, that there's a chapter in there that we're tracking over time how people feel about science and what people know about science.
Yeah, and we like scientists. We think they're pretty cool.
We have. I don't know if there's anything in there that says we think they're cool, but we certainly we respect them. We have confidence in them in terms of, and more importantly, we have confidence in them relative to a lot of other groups in society. There aren't many groups in society, really. The military is the one group that people have more confidence in, but also in the medical field, there's about the same amount of confidence. But yeah, and that stayed pretty stable over the years, which is a pretty good news for some of the other groups have bounced around a bit more. But scientists, the confidence in scientists and the scientific community has stayed pretty stable since about the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. And while we might have gotten some of the questions wrong of scientific facts, we're definitely interested in science. 80% say they're interested in new scientific discoveries. Why do you suppose we're so excited about that?
Science is cool. It comes up with some kind of neat things over every once in a while, and quite often. And so, I think people are genuinely interested when new things come along. We're interested in a lot of things. Medicine does particularly well, I guess, and of course there's a pretty clear reason for that. I think there's lots of things. I study science because I find it, even though I study public perceptions of lots of things, science to me is it's kind of fascinating, and it looks like a lot of Americans think the same thing.
Yeah, so if we think it's so fascinating and we respect the scientists and we're interested in scientific discoveries and the like, why do you suppose we perform relatively poorly on these questions?
Yeah, and so I think there's a couple things. So one, the questions are designed, if everybody got all the questions right, we would come up with a new set of questions, because we want to have, we want there to be some variation. We'd have to find new questions if people got these ones right. So they're designed for some people to get them wrong so that we can track it and so we can see movement. If everyone got it right, we wouldn't see if it ever, we could only ever see if it went down. We'd never know if it went up. So there's that part. But there's also, you know, if you think about geographers worry that we don't know where to put Wisconsin on a map or Canada on a map. People who study English worry that we don't know our Shakespeare. People who study politics worry we don't know who our senators are. And so there's lots of things that people can know. And it's hard for us to know everything. I mean, I'm sure you could do a survey of scientists and find a topic that scientists don't know the answers to that we kind of wish they did. And so, I mean, I think it's entirely to be expected that people aren't going to know everything about everything. Does that mean we don't want people to know more things about science? No, we want people to know as much as possible about science. But I don't think we should ever be surprised when we find that people could know a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there were 9 questions, and the average score was that they got the people who took this got 6 of the questions right. Is that?
Yep. About right. Yeah, 5.8. We track it pretty close because the reason we do it to the decimal, which seems a bit weird, but it's because the movement is so small. I mean, it's sort of hovered between 5.6 and 5.8 now for quite a few years.
Yeah, and how does that compare to other countries?
It's about right there. And so in the particular survey that the NSF does, that we don't have other countries, but, for example, a foundation in Spain did this nice survey, I think, in 2011. Some of the same questions, actually a broader number of questions. Some of the ones are the same. And, you know, what you find is that the U.S. Does a little bit better. So they did the top 5, their largest 5 European countries and then 5 more European countries. And we do a little better than the average of that sort of group, but really, you know, like 14.3 rather than 13.4 out of 22 questions. You know, there's a couple countries, Denmark and the Netherlands, that do a little better. But really, we're right there with the average, you know, near the top.
So often we see headlines that say that, you know, kids in the U.S. are dumber than the rest of the world. That's not the case for these science questions.
Well, I think you get the same thing in those. I think the PISA scores that came out from the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, I think it was last month. I mean, it wasn't that the U.S. students are dumber than other kids. It's that they're right there in the pack. There's always going to be some country, or there are some countries that do a little better, and there are some countries that do worse. Those scores are, you know, that's a much bigger test, and that's it's in students rather than the whole population, where we're looking here at, you know, adults as well as 15-year-olds.
So that's what I was going to ask. I didn't know who. So the Americans who took your survey for this report, they were mainly adults?
All adults, yeah. It's the general social survey, which is sort of it's really the country's best survey. It's done by the University of Chicago. It has more than 2,000 people. They survey them face-to-face, which, as you can imagine, is a task. And they get really high response rates. It's starting in, I think, mid-2000s, the NSF added these questions to the general social survey because they weren't happy with telephones, the quality they were getting with telephone surveying. So this is about as good a data as you can get from survey data. But, yeah, all adults over the age of 18.
And do you shake your head when you know that 1 in 4 Americans answered the does the sun orbit the Earth or does the Earth orbit the sun incorrectly? That only 1 in 4 got that wrong?
Yeah. Well, so do I shake my head? I think I used to get a little more used to react more to it, but you know, you do it. You can do knowledge questions like this, and you're always going to have people who get questions wrong. I wish people got it right. And I want to work to, you know, I work with, you know, science educators and folks who want to sort of push that up as much as we can. But, you know, people have lots of things to worry about. People have lots of things to think about. I would really worry, and we don't. Unfortunately, it's not a good way to collect this kind of data. To me, the question is, could they find it out if they needed to? And I mean, there's lots of evidence that says when people need to find stuff out, they find stuff out. And so I try not to worry too much about did they get some specific question wrong. We're using that to track things over time. It's the question, could they do it? Do they want? And if they did wanted to, could they? Would they have the interest of going out to do that? And so I really like the interest questions, and I really like the confidence questions. To me, those are where I'd be worried if we saw those falling or bouncing around a lot.
Yeah. Does the National Science Foundation though want to, I don't know, use these this report to try to get the scores a little bit higher?
So because it's an indicators report, the idea is to track these things over time. And absolutely, I think, the National Science Foundations are, along with the NIH, you know, these are our premier science organizations. And so they fund other research that's meant to improve science education. There's lots of good stuff in there, improving science, technology, engineering, math education. So as an organization there, that's their focus. But these specific measures, they're really about tracking things over time. And so if we were to be able to move the bar, and there's lots of people who are trying to move the knowledge level up, improve confidence in science, if we were to do that, this is the survey project where you'd capture that as an indicator of how the U.S. is doing.
We are talking about science education, our interest in science, and our respect for science, and we're welcoming your questions for our guest. John Besley is an associate professor in the Department of Advertising and Public Relations at Michigan State University, and he is the lead author of a chapter that covers public perceptions of science in the National Science Foundation's Science and Engineering Indicators Report. This survey got quite a bit of attention over the weekend. It shows that we have a very healthy interest in learning about science, but some of us still struggle with some basic scientific facts, along with the rest of the world. And we're welcoming your reactions to this. We're welcoming your questions for our guest. We're welcoming your suggestions on what we should do to improve our scientific knowledge. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about a new survey that shows while Americans have a healthy interest in learning about science, they still struggle with some basic scientific facts. We are talking with the lead author of this report about why it's important to have a high regard for science and scientists. And we are welcoming your questions, comments, feedback on how you expand your scientific horizons. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, we have lots of callers, but I did want to get to another part of your report that said a majority of Americans said that they visited a zoo, an aquarium, or science museum, though attendance in 2012 was down slightly from 2008. I'm wondering how much of the answer to making us scientifically smarter lies in science centers like these.
I mean, I love going to science centers and aquariums and zoos whenever I can, and I take my kids. That's a group of people who are really out there trying to get people excited and finding ways to get people excited and interested in science. Sometimes it's about learning, but sometimes really those things are great because they're that first step, which is getting people just really engaged in, like, hey, the science, this is really cool, and hopefully they go home and they search something out, or they look something up, or they meet somebody that they think, hey, that person's just like me, I could do that. And so I just love that whole community and all the work that they do to try to get people really sort of engaged in science.
Yeah, and did you ask about the internet and how people use the internet to get scientific knowledge?
Yeah, and so there's a couple of trends there. There's a couple of questions. So there's one that says, where do you get your scientific information? And what you see there is TV sort of gradually declining and newspapers sort of going down and internet sort of replacing it. It turns out that internet part, there's a nice question in there that shows that, yeah, as newspapers went down, it's really people going online to newspapers and stuff to get their science information. But there's another question which is even more important, which is if you wanted to know something, where would you go? And of course, everybody says, almost everybody says they'd go online now. to look something up. And there's lots of, you know, there's lots of scientists at universities and science centers who are making sure that they're and trying to find more ways to make sure that if somebody goes online and looks something up, that they're going to find good stuff. Of course, we all know there's a lot of junk on the internet, but I think the scientific community is working really hard right now to find ways to make sure that they're getting the good stuff up there and making it available and making it interesting to read and attractive to read and something that people want to use.
And about half of those surveyed said the government is spending about the right amount on scientific research. Talk a little bit about that and what people are saying about what areas of research deserve priority.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and so the one thing you see is if you ask just, you know, are they supporting scientific research too little about right too much, scientific research is sort of in the middle of the pack there. But if you ask about some specific things, health, developing alternative energy sources, the environment, you know, those ones, that's where people would like to see more money. So the more specific the question, it seems like people are seeing a more need in those specific areas.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to Jeff in Madison. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Two things, and I'll take my comment, or I'll listen up here. The first thing, you just kind of stole my thunder about the learning of facts, the stuff that, you know, back in the 80s when I was in school, you had to memorize things. And those are, to me, commodities that Google has largely taken care of now. What I wish science did more with was that bring out that ability to infer and analyze rather than just rote memorization. I think that's an area of science education and awareness that is worthy of debate. And the second thing that I've found I've got a master's in hydrogeology. The second thing is science jobs. You know, I think people think of it as walking around in white lab coats. And, you know, as I look back on starting, I walked into a world of hurt with a degree in geology because it was all consulting and engineering. Nowhere near what I expected science to be. So I think there's a lot of ambiguity about science jobs. But it's a great show, and I'll listen up here. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Do you agree? Do people have a misperception on what it means to be working in science, John?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a fun question because there's some this every few years they add these sort of rotating modules to the survey. And so this year there was a set of questions asked in 83 and again in 2001 and again in this last round about what do people think about scientists. And some of those questions specifically deal with jobs. And so on one hand, people would be very happy. I can't remember the numbers here, but I think, you know, almost everybody would be really happy if their son or daughter went into science or engineering. Then, you know, there's some questions there about people generally think that scientists get paid okay, that they earn jobs. So what is scientists earn less than other people with equally demanding jobs? 64% disagreed, which is to say that most people thought that they make as much as others. Also asked, a job as a scientist would be boring. And so what do we get there? 77% disagree with that, strongly disagree or disagree. So most people think that, yeah, a science job, if they were in it, could be interesting, I think. Now, on the other hand, the one that sort of jumped out at me and I'm curious about is that more than half of people, or about almost exactly half of people, think that they strongly agree or agree that scientific work is dangerous, and engineering work is dangerous. And so that one I'm really curious about. I'm not, I guess I probably burned my hand on Bunsen burner in chemistry class too, but I'm not sure I wonder what folks are thinking there.
Oh, I don't know.
But
they're thinking of beakers blowing up or something. I'm not sure.
Could be shards of glass flying everywhere. But I think the general picture is that I think when people look at science as a job and they look at scientists, they say, yeah, that's not so bad. I could imagine, even if it's not them, because we're talking about adults here, that they'd be happy with their kids doing that.
Yeah, and our caller also mentioned though that the internet could look up anything on the internet, and he thinks that's fine for some of these basic facts. What he laments is he thinks that it's important to know how to analyze and to do the scientific deduction, I guess.
Absolutely, and there's a couple of questions in there that it's actually some of the older questions. They've been around the longest, asking about how you would do an experiment, and the idea of trying to get people to give the answer how to design an experiment, saying two groups, mm-hmm. you know, a control group and a test group. And, you know, it's one of the harder questions as far as the knowledge questions. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's where the people who are working really hard in science education and informal science education, that's the museums and aquariums, they're trying to figure out how to get people to ask and ask good questions and to see themselves as the kind of people who can get answers to those questions and figure out how to get those questions. I mean, when I teach my classes, you know, in the social sciences, that's what I'm trying to do, too. It's we can look stuff up, but we want to know that people can... You know, if they think they can and they're willing to try, people can figure things out. So we want to make sure that we get people who do that.
We are talking with John Besley. He is an associate professor at the Michigan State University. He is the lead author of a report on the public's perceptions of science from the National Science Foundation. And we're talking about public perceptions of science and our knowledge of science. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. First, the news. Our guest this hour is the lead author of a report from the National Science Foundation, which found, among many other things, that Americans are interested in science, they respect scientists, yet we sometimes struggle with some scientific facts. For instance, in this survey, about 25% of those asked thought the sun revolved around the earth, and fewer than half, 48%, knew human beings developed from earlier species of animals. So we're talking about this report on public perceptions of science, and we're welcoming your reactions and your questions, and we're wondering how you would improve science education. We wonder what you do to improve your own scientific knowledge. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with John Besley, who is an associate professor in the Department of Advertising and Public Relations at Michigan State University and lead author of this chapter in the National Science Foundation's Science and Engineering Indicators Report. Let's take some more calls. Amy in Chautauqua is with us. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Dr. Besley. I'm really enjoying this program. I'm a science educator. I teach in the UW system and have been for many years, and we're always striving to find ways to make students more interested in learning science. And one thing I have found very effective is considering aspects of landscape. For example, just yesterday, one student in my class asked me about a huge rock formation off of Highway 21 near Wautoma, and it actually ended up leading me to develop a whole wonderful lecture last night about the glaciated landscapes of Wisconsin. So just tying it to their everyday world and their everyday life really stimulates a lot of interest. The other issue would be problems or issues, for example, pollution. In order to understand the potential impact of pollution, they really do have to understand some basics of chemistry and stuff. So that those have been some things that have worked for me.
Thank you so much, Amy. I wish I could hear your lecture on rocks. I like that. So if science is tied to our everyday lives, John, what do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I think so. I always wish when I was out hiking that I'd have a geologist with me because I see all these rocks. I wonder what that's about. And for me, you know, getting interested in you know, even though I study social science, you know, my interest in the science side comes from, I think, you know, I grew up in north of Toronto in Ontario, and just it's a beautiful part of the world, and we have the Canadian Shield, and it's just beautiful. And the environment side of it was really important to me. That got me into it. That got me interested in this area. So I have no doubt that. That's really key, and it's one of the things people have struggled with. As people have thought about these questions on the survey over the years, is how do you think about science literacy or science knowledge? Like, what is it that we really want to ask people about? And one of the ideas is that trying to find ways to see if people connect science with their everyday life. And there's actually some questions in the survey this year that ask about, you know, how much do you think various fields are scientific, and, you know, things like accounting or firefighting. And, you know, people see science in a lot of different areas. And so I think, yeah, people are seeing, those are questions that haven't been asked a lot, so we don't have good sort of over time data. But people definitely see science in a lot of places, which is exactly what we'd hope, I hope, I think.
Well, I'm looking at public attitudes about specific science issues. And it says here that Americans remain divided on views about climate change and hold views that are different from those of citizens of other countries. Apparently, a majority of Americans worried a great deal or a fair amount about climate change in 2013, but yet 3 in 10 Americans say that dealing with global warming should be a priority. That doesn't seem like very many people.
Yeah, the climate change and some of these specific ones, there's this interesting discussion about, so you have general attitudes towards science and attitudes towards specific topics. And so I should say that because it's the National Science Foundation report, they're very careful, the report is very careful not to, it doesn't analyze things by politics, it doesn't analyze things by, you know, ideology. On this panel we were at over the weekend, Pew Research Center and Gallup were there, and they're, of course, free to do that sort of thing. And on one hand, I'm talking on behalf of myself today as lead author, and so I can talk about it. But the report itself is very careful not to delve into the politics of it, because it's you know, it's a report from a government agency to the Congress and the president. And so, yeah, I mean, so climate change is a funny thing, and so there's, to the point where people want to make it, bring it back. I mean, a lot of scientists would love it to bring it back and make it a more scientific issue, but it's not entirely a scientific issue right now in terms of how people talk about it, how it's discussed. And so other things have found their way into it. I don't know how I think a lot of people wish they could figure out how to depoliticize climate change, but this point it's looking pretty tough.
I know, and I know that you're in an interesting position here, but I guess a question that comes to mind is that, you know, the survey says we respect scientists a great deal, yet there are reports that say, what I can't remember the figure now, 98% of climate scientists say that this is happening and it's an issue and it's humans are contributing to it. Yet, you know, so that's 98% of scientists who we respect say this. Yet there's this raging debate still going on that as though it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, people, and depending on how you ask the questions about science, you know, people can say, yeah, climate change is occurring, but maybe it's natural. I mean, I fully believe in the science of climate change. I'm not a climate scientist, so my best bet in this case is to trust the scientists that I trust. It's people. I mean, climate change is one scientific issue, and you know, nuclear energy is another issue, and GMOs, places where there's genetically modified organisms or GM foods. Mm-hmm. Those are places where there's some other stuff that have crept into the debate, and I think it's people are able to trust scientists in general, but then when these other issues come up, they have other priorities, other values, other things that are
There's some of those people could also be saying, and they are saying, so what, you know. That there are some who are saying that too. It's maybe they believe it's happening, but they don't think it's worth the cost of fixing it.
Right, and we can talk ourselves. You know, when something is difficult, psychology sort of tells us we find ways to convince ourselves that what we wanted to do was what we wanted to do anyways was the path to go. And so we talk ourselves into things. But that's just people.
Yeah.
We're funny things.
Do you have thoughts, or did you ask about how the media contributes to our understanding of science?
So on this survey, no. That's a topic that I've studied in the past, but it's not on this survey. And the answer is, yeah. I mean, people who pay a little bit more attention to the news tend to have a little more positive views about science, but it's a sort of a small relationship. Yeah, I mean, I think people, just like there's a small relationship, I mean, this is the funny thing about the knowledge questions. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about them, and they're really interesting. But then when you look at the relationship between the knowledge questions and the attitude questions, And it's not a huge relationship. People's, you know, there's a lot of things that go into attitudes beyond what people know.
Let's take another caller. Rana in Cameron is with us. Hi, Rana. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. I'm wondering if the study that was done looked at any areas that people seem to have an easier time understanding as far as science goes. Like, in the study, did it compare earth science and life science and physical science and see which of those three that perhaps people just seem to be able to grasp the area better for? And the other thing, in Wisconsin, in our next generation science standards that are coming, well, maybe coming through as far as middle school and high school teaching goes, inference is really big. Inference is being required and requested more by the state of Wisconsin as far as what we're teaching in the classroom. And what I'm finding is that because we've done this rote memorization and not allowed students to, you know, infer and ask questions and have their things fail and then they get a bad grade, the kids just kind of aren't getting that whole inference thing. And I think it's going to come, but I think it's going to take, you know, a generation or, you know, 5 or 10 years before we really see a big improvement in that area. And I'm just wondering if there's any comment on that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, John.
Yeah, thanks for the question. So there are, and it's tricky because there are questions about the physical sciences and there's questions about biological science. And a few years ago, 2006, but a couple of years ago, and you can look up all these reports going back over time, the NSF added a whole range of different science questions so they could, you know, see if the questions that they had were not tapping something. And what they found when they did that was that even though this is a small group of questions, they generally capture, you know, if people did well on these group of questions, they did well on all the other questions as well. There's some physical science questions. You know, the one that people do best on is the center of the Earth is very hot. You know, 84% seem to get that right. The continents have been moving in their locations for millions of years. 83% get it right. And so they do pretty well on that. And then there's some biological questions. But then it goes down to the universe. Well, that's a tricky one. But let's do lasers work by focusing sound waves. Not true. It's not sound that are in lasers. But 47% get that right. And so that's, you know, that physical science question. On the other hand, the biological science questions, you know, it's antibiotics kill viruses as well as bacteria. 51% get that right. Human beings, as we know them, development from earlier species, that's a controversial question. But again, you know, depending on how you ask, 50 to 70% get that right. And so it's not, I don't think in here we'd know if people are getting, and there are some questions that they try to break it down by we try to break it down by physical science, biological science. But that's mainly to show that it seems that there's a bit of a gender break in terms of, for whatever reason, women do a little less well on the physical science questions than the biological, whereas they do about the same as men on the biological science questions. But yeah, I mean, there's, and then if you go to the interest side, it's pretty clear that whenever you ask about interest or, you know, funding questions, the medical sciences do pretty well. People see that as a big priority area.
Let me hold you there because we're past our break time, and then we'll be back and we'll continue talking about our perceptions of science, our scientific knowledge, and welcome your observations too as we are talking with John Besley, who is the lead author of a report that covers public perceptions of science in the National Science Foundation's Science and Engineering Indicators Report. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. A new survey shows that while Americans have a healthy interest in learning about science, we still struggle with some basic scientific facts along with the rest of the world. We are talking with the lead author of this report about why it's important, and we're welcoming your questions and your feedback. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Patrick on Facebook says, why is it important to tell people who believe in evolution or creation that they're wrong? We spend a lot of time arguing a point that really is unimportant to actual physics, chemistry, and biology of science. I can drive a car whether I believe it came from a factory or my parents. I can even fix a car believing either of these to be true. Perhaps we should worry less about where things come from and more about how to use them. Well, I think it was 48% in the survey did not believe that humans evolved from other animals.
And that's a funny thing, actually, because if you add the preface to the question, according to the theory of evolution, and they did this as part, they split the sample in half and asked half the people the standard question, but in the other half they added the, you know, according to the theory of evolution, human beings as we know them, 72% didn't get it right that time. And so it suggests that it's not that they, and people debate, will continue to debate what this means and whether it's really a knowledge question. But it does show that people have a sense of what the correct answer would be, but sometimes people choose for various reasons not to answer it that way, which is kind of interesting. But there's nothing in this report that says people should think of it this way. I mean, it's a tracking survey. It's meant to say what do people think, and I think it's an interesting area for study to try to understand why people respond in the ways that they do.
Yeah. Well. Do you have a reaction to our Facebook poster's observation that, who cares where we came from or anything came from? How does it work?
Sure. And so this is one of the – there was a really neat – it's a woman at Rice University who gave another neat – a great presentation at AAAS, the meeting I was at over the weekend where we talked about this, on a big survey on religion and science. And, yeah, there's a ton of areas where – and there's lots of scientists who are believers, and there's lots of places where it really, really doesn't matter. There's a group of, this is an important debate because it does get into school policies and things like that. And so it can matter. But yeah, most, I don't think it's not the dominant, you know, evolution is one issue. Again, one of these issues that has become politicized and it's really, you know, it's really important to a lot of people. But yeah, I don't think. You know, one of the things that I study in my science, in my own research, is how to talk about science. And I don't see that there's any particular value in attacking people for what they believe in. It doesn't seem like if we think we want people to respect us, I don't know that yelling at people or calling people names helps very much.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Vince in Elm Grove next. Hello, Vince, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks. I guess I have some observations and a question. Your guest, one of the things I guess that essentially was a signal of what's been happening in this program is that he teaches in the Department of Advertising and Public Relations. I'm a bit like what I sense Joy's kind of questioning that really the situation that we're in this country. That so few people believe, for example, in basic science, the whole question of global warming, evolution, the question that we had not too long ago about the horrible media that we have when Mr. Cox was on, and who had been the chair of the SEC and concerned about the dumbing down of American society. And I guess what the concern I have with the your guest is that he seems to think that ignorance is better than knowledge. I'm not saying that we need to yell at people, but the point is that when you're that wrong about something as basic as the age of the world, for example, apparently a large percentage, 40% of Americans, believe the world is no more than 10,000 years old. Maybe that is religion that's part of that problem, but the concern I have is that, you know, this is the most powerful country in the world, and if we have a population that is that ignorant of so many issues, and the question I had was the shock I had, I guess, at the beginning of the program when your guest mentioned that although Americans saw medicine and science as popular and supported it, they saw the military is even more popular. And I suppose I was both shocked, by a number of things said, but that...
Vincent, I appreciate all of your, you know, your critical observations, but this is a survey of people, John. You want to talk a little bit about they did say that they respected the military just slightly more than scientists.
And it was confidence in that they had confidence in the military.
Yeah,
and you know that number's bounced around quite a bit over the years, and so. You can imagine why it's high at the current point in time in terms of, the challenges that the militaries have gone through over the years. I think they're not saying that they, I don't think this says that they love militarism or that they love, but they respect people in the military. I think that's not too surprising, I think.
Yeah. Are you, I don't know, poo-pooing that, that we're... that Americans are don't get scientific fact, and that's not a big deal.
I mean, I'm a social scientist. I'm in an advertising and public relations department, but that's really an applied form of social science. You know, people who study communication study how people think. I mean, often public opinion research is done by communication researchers for historical reasons, and I teach students about social science methods and how to draw inference, and so all those good things, and I love science, and I wish people knew more about science, just like I wish people knew more about politics, and I wish people knew about literature, and I wish people knew more about everything. I wish I knew more about everything. Mm-hmm. I think the question though is having it's important not to. I think sometimes scientists get so we can spend a lot of time lamenting what we don't have and miss what we do have, and you know, if you imagine that your primary goal going into a communication situation is that you think your audience doesn't know something and they desperately need to know something, you're not going to be a good communicator because you're not respecting your audience. You're not respecting the people it's not even an audience, really. It's people you're talking to, people you're in a room with. And so my point is that I guess this is my own research area, is that people, we need to think about how people think about science in sort of a big way, both knowledge about science, beliefs about science, how we feel about the people who are doing it. Those things are all important in terms of how America sees science. And they're all going to matter.
In our final, less than a minute, what should people take away from this survey, this report?
I think people should take away that science is in a good spot in terms of relative to the rest of society, in terms of how people think about them. But there's always lots of room for growth, and there's lots of opportunities for people to become more engaged with scientists. And scientists can, there's lots of great scientists doing lots of work to engage the public with what they're doing. And, you know, I hope people are open to that and open to seeing all the cool things that are out there.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
John Bestley is an associate professor in the Department of Advertising and Public Relations at Michigan State University, lead author of a chapter that covers public perceptions of science in the National Science Foundation's Science and Engineering Indicators Report. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Christy Taylor for producing these programs. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.